First of all, I need you to hear this. If you're a parent and you're listening to this, there is zero shame in you not paying for your kids' college. I know society has put a lot of pressure on you that it is a rite of passage and that you it is a requirement. That is not true. When your child is 18 years old, you technically do not have any financial responsibility for them any longer. However, do I feel as a parent, because I love my kids, that that is the way it should be? Absolutely not. I do feel like we should try to help our kiddos in every way we can. We want them to succeed, but we need to be smart about it and not at the risk of our own financial future, right? So we need to be very smart about how we choose to maneuver and handle this. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline, or Jax Kreider. And today I'm doing a little bit of a solo episode about the broader topic of student loans and just some of the things that I see in my side on the mortgage side and why I'm so very passionate about this particular topic. So let's get into this a little bit. So first of all, understand that I am an advocate person that believes in education. I hold a bachelor's degree from Texas A&M. I hold a law degree also from Texas A&M. So I am obviously somebody who is very much believes in the power of education. I also hold my own educational platforms in Financial Mastery Simplified, as well as House U. So I actually do believe in education to my core. I believe it is the huge differentiator in being able to live your life on your terms and be able to be in alignment with what you're looking for. Okay. So first of all, I want to get that out of the way because a lot of people are probably going to listen or watch this episode and think to yourselves, you're knocking on education and that people shouldn't do education. And that is absolutely not true. What I am anti is I am anti in the amount of debt that sometimes comes with education and it being the literal albatross or financial just anchor, if you will, on families, whether it be the parents paying for the students' college or vice versa, the students paying for their own college, okay? And let me explain to you how I see that day to day in my space. So obviously, as you've probably heard in other episodes, my main job and what I have done for well over 20 years is mortgage. And so in the mortgage space, we obviously see a lot of people, a lot of different areas of their life, a lot of different ages, a lot of different areas of the country even. And we also see a lot of different financial situations. And with that, I will tell you the one debt that I have seen create more challenge for either getting a mortgage, refinancing a mortgage, buying a home, things like this is student loan debt. And why is that? Well, used to 20, 30 years ago, going to school, you could find some pretty reasonable cost surrounding getting that higher level of education. Now, unfortunately, the cost of education has skyrocketed and gone through the roof. And I'll tell you why I have a problem with that point for a few reasons. Number one, these entities are considered non-for-profit, okay? If you're looking on your face at what non-for-profit means, that means an institution that is not inherently supposed to make money. Okay, great. That sounds wonderful. And we all believe that is a wonderful and beautiful thing as an educational institution should be. However, if you really start digging deep into colleges, universities, you're going to find that almost every single one of them has giant endowments. What is an endowment? It's kind of like this big financial savings, if you will, of money that they're setting aside. And most universities have billion-dollar endowments. Yes, billion with a B, okay? What does this mean? This means that they actually could either charge you less for that education, they could give out more scholarships, or. Okay? This, in my opinion, is a problem. So let me understand this. You have billions and billions of dollars, but you are asking the American public to literally put themselves into giant financial harm to be able to simply get an education. I don't believe that that's right. And it really, really angers me. I get really, really passionate and on a high horse about it because the last thing I want for you is for you to go and want to buy that house, want to upgrade to a better house, whatever the case may be. And now I have to tell you, oh, you know what? I'm so sorry because you have $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 in student loans that you can't do that. There is another challenge here because a lot of people now are going to say, okay, well, great. However, even if I have a couple hundred thousand dollars in student loans, they now do something, which they didn't do before, called IBR. What is IBR? That stands for income-based repayment. Okay, so IBR means that, okay, you've got $200,000, $300,000 in student loan debt. You submit some paperwork to the servicer that shows what exactly your income is. And then they figure out what you can realistically pay. And then that becomes your payment. And you do have to update your IBR every so often. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly how frequently. It's either 12, 24 months, something of that sort. Okay. And so you're thinking to yourself, well, that makes it reasonable, Jax. Like, you know, because now I just have to pay like this amount that is based on my income. Okay, that sounds great in theory. However, I want to point something out to you. Do you realize that when you get an income-based repayment, whatever the delta is between the actual payment and the income-based repayment, that additional amount is tacked onto the back end of your loan? What does that mean? It means that the loan is literally growing in size every single month until you pay an amount that will actually allow it to start decreasing. Okay. So let me tell you a little story about myself. So obviously I have a law degree. I was very blessed to be a part of a family where my undergraduate degree was actually covered in full by my parents. My parents were very diligent, and as opposed to putting themselves in debt, they paid for a very specific program that Texas offers. They offer it not quite the same anymore, but it is similar. It's called the Texas Tomorrow Program. And basically, if you pay off this amount, then your child gets any in-state tuition for the state of Texas basically covered for free. Or if they choose to go to an out-of-state tuition, university, or they choose to go to a private university, they give the average of whatever the in-state tuition cost is for that particular year. That's what they issue out. Okay. And so this is how my parents afforded to pay for my college education. And I was very lucky and very blessed to have that. When it came to law school, however, that was on my own dime. And my law school was actually fairly reasonably priced at only about 20 or so-ish, I think it was 20, 25 a year. That was a part-time program. I also got a scholarship to go, so I was decreased a little bit more. But when it was all said and done, I was in debt from that law program roughly $100,000. Let's talk for a second about what that looked like, because I also was on IBR for a little bit, and I started realizing, holy crap, look at how much money is getting added to my balance. And anybody who understands anything about how money kind of operates knows that when money starts ballooning out of control and you're starting to add interest and that's getting tacked and getting tacked, I mean, it basically is a recipe for disaster, because if you don't have a solution for how you're going to get this under control, it basically is going to be a debt that you're going to pay for, in essence, the rest of your damn life. And that is not a good thing. And it is what we are seeing time over time. The other interesting point here is that when the federal government took over student loans, now they are not dischargeable through bankruptcy. So if you're saying to yourself, well, you know, Jax, if things really got rough and I really get to a place where, you know, I can't afford to pay them anymore, if I have to file bankruptcy, they'll be just discharged. Nope. You can, in some very extreme circumstances, get them discharged, but it's very, very extreme. I actually spoke with a friend who is a bankruptcy attorney, and they gave me an example of this man and this woman, and the man was a helicopter pilot and had a very unfortunate accident, lost, I think an arm is my understanding. So obviously couldn't really be the helicopter pilot anymore. And so they were having to take a massive pay cut, went and were actually filing bankruptcy to kind of, you know, there was a lot of medical bills there, right? A lot of things. They actually asked the judge to discharge these student loan debts that were one of the bigger things holding them back financially. And the judge told them no. So if you're thinking to yourself, well, I mean, it'll figure itself out, maybe. But basically, this debt, in my personal opinion, is intended to control you. And I don't like that. I don't like anything that doesn't allow you to have the full financial freedom that you want to hold and that you want to have. And so the reason that I'm so passionate and that I want you to think so deeply when it comes to either borrowing the money and helping your kid with student loans, or allowing your child to, or you're a young adult and you're taking out student loans, is I need you to think through how much debt you're placing yourself into and what's the likelihood and the time window in which you're going to be able to repay it back. Because if there is no plan or no thought process on how that is going to look, I'm telling you right now, it is going to drown you.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your home ownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
And I don't want it to, because it doesn't have to, because there are alternatives, which I actually spoke with on one of my last podcasts with Mina Singh. So like, we talked a lot about that, about there's alternatives, right? You can look for merit-based versus need-based scholarships. You can look to do work study, right? There is lots and lots and lots of different options. But if you're waiting until the last minute to think about them and to think them through, they are absolutely not going to just fall into your lap. Okay. So I had this exact conversation with my three older daughters. Okay. And this is sort of how the conversation went. First of all, unfortunately, because I became their stepmom a little bit later in the process, and I didn't have time to financially prepare to be able to help them with college like I would have liked to, I let them know that unfortunately college was going to be on them, that we would do whatever we could to potentially help allow them to live with us or things of this sort. However, we did need to let them know that they unfortunately would be on their own for college. We fought very, very hard because my husband has a lot of damages from his time in the Marines. And so we actually got him to 100% disability. And so if you are a veteran listening, know that there are a lot of programs, if you are 100% disabled, that your children will get, as well as if you're not, but you are a veteran that is disabled, there's even special scholarships for those kiddos that they can tap into. And if you happen to be a veteran that started your military process in the state of Texas or served in Texas, then you may fall under something called the Hazelwood Act. And so please, please look into that because it's super helpful. Anyways, I digress. Back to my story. So we had this conversation with the girls and I told them it's totally up to you on which route you take as far as your educational path goes. So you can, I encouraged all of them to get as much college credit as they could while they were in high school. So they all took a little bit different path there. The oldest did mainly AP courses and did AP CLEP, you know, like, or not AP CLEP, but she did a little bit of CLEP and a lot of AP exams to try to get out of some classes. The middle did mainly AP and did not do CLEP because test taking is not her strongest and highest and best use. She's a great test taker. She just overthinks it. And then the youngest did a lot of dual credit. That's actually the route that if you're pushing or encouraging your children to do, I encourage because it is actual college credit. It makes sure that they actually can get that, right? Now, when they went into school, all of them took a little bit of different path here too. So the older two first started going to a local college. It was originally a community college. It actually converted into a regular college. But those colleges, those community colleges, a lot of times are a lot more reasonable. And your children don't necessarily have the cost of living if you're willing to let them remain with you, which is what we did with our girls. And so that really lessened the cost for them, right? It allowed them to be able to have a real reasonable cost associated with getting some college education. So that's the older two, the original route that the two of them picked. Then the oldest decided that she would go into a regular university that was relatively close to our home. She did that for about a year and realized it was not in alignment with her. So she stepped back and waited. And then a few years later, after she had some real world life experience, decided to go ahead and step back out. And she went ahead and went to university in another state that offered really, really amazing benefits to her because her father is a 100% disabled veteran and really, really helped her step into her own. And so she has some debt, but it is marginal. Okay. The middle chose to complete that degree, had got the associate's degree. And then when she got a real world job, went back and stepped back into going to university online and actually has her corporation that she works for helping her pay that. So that has helped her significantly. And so she does have a little bit of debt student wise, but it's fairly minor. And then my youngest took the most traditional path. She went ahead and decided that she wanted to go to a regular 4-year university experience. However, she did pick one that would give her in-state tuition, so it could lessen the cost there. She also did get a little bit of a scholarship from them as well as she had over a year worth of credits when she went in. And so as opposed to taking what a lot of times is now going into 5 years, she was able to graduate in 4. And so that massively lessened the amount of debt that she had to pay, right? So there are options for you and your kiddos if you really are diligent about them. What I don't want to see is what I've seen all too often. We now are going and we're pulling a credit report for somebody in, like, let's say their late 20s, early 30s, or even somebody in their 50s who now is trying to help their kid with school, and they're drowning in student loan debt. And it's creating massive problems for the maneuvers and the steps and the things that they want to take. So I'm not telling you not to use to go to university. Obviously, all three of my girls have gone to university. And so there's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, I myself have multiple degrees, so I'm not anti-degree. I am anti you being chained to debt for the rest of your financial future. I am anti that. And so alternatives could be things like trade schools. But again, make sure that the trade schools are reasonably priced and something that is actually going to give them a real marketable skill. I'm also not anti your child not going right away, taking a year or two and figuring out what they want in the real world, right? Like getting them to do some internships or be an apprentice somewhere to see. Remember that because of what I do for a living, I get to see how much money everybody makes. And everyone assumes that it's got to be the lawyers and the doctors and all these people with all these high-level degrees. And I'm not telling you that a fair bit of lawyers and doctors don't make a lot of money. Some of them do. But that is a misnomer. There is a lot of attorneys that only make 65, 70, 80K. And when you consider how much, I mean, $100,000 or $200,000 for law school is pretty cheap. And so when you consider how much debt, again, look at that cost-benefit analysis. So I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just saying, think it all the way through, right? I've seen electricians, plumbers, I've seen welders, a lot of highly skilled blue-collar workers that make significant money, own their own business or work for someone. So there's lots of opportunity and availability for people. I feel like as a society, we've pushed that university and college, that's the only answer, that's the only solution. And I think a lot of times we need to step back and we need to look at the big picture and we need to see how it aligns with our overall situation. I will also say this to parents specifically, I want you to be diligent about thinking about your child and not what you want for your child, but what's best for your child. We as parents should be empowering our children, and now we're becoming adults, to do not only what is going to fit best with their life path, but with their unique strengths. They were each born with unique strengths. I get it. I know you may feel really, really firmly that you want a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer or a, I don't know, fill in the blank, an accountant in your family. But the truth is if you're pushing on that person that is newly fledged adult, and you're pushing them into a box in which they don't belong, not only is it going to cause them a lot of headache and heartache, it's going to cause you and your relationship a lot of headache and heartache. And it's also going to potentially create a lot of debt, because eventually they're going to find themselves enough where they're going to push back. Right? That's another thing that I'm going to address. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of times the first couple years of college or university for a lot of kids, when they go away, because we've also convinced ourselves as a society that this is a rite of passage, they have to go away and whatever and party their brains out. I mean, remind yourself, mom and dad, that they a lot of times are going to not be respecting your money. They don't really necessarily, because they are new adults, necessarily have a real understanding or a true value of money yet. Maybe you've done some of this work at home with them and maybe you haven't. But regardless, you need to understand that it is important for them to start valuing money. So I said, and then I mean this because I have a little one and I have a toddler, and I have told my husband, she will handle her own school cost. Now, there may be some educational funds that family members have donated to and whatever, but she will be required to stroke the checks. Because even when I was in undergrad, my mom forced us to stroke the checks. So when we had to pay rent, we had to stroke the check, even if she gave us the money. And my brother said to her one day, why do we have to do this, mom? Because in my brother's case, my mom was actually his landlord at the university. They had bought a house and they rented it out to my brother and a bunch of the people he knew. And my brother said, but mom, you're literally giving me the money and then I'm paying you money right back. Like, that seems like a waste. And my mom looked at him and he's like, no, let me guess. It's to teach me a lesson. And she was teaching him the lesson of having him be responsible for stroking the check, right? Like, that is an important step. We, at our household, the way we handled it for those who chose to live in our household for those first, you know, couple years where they were getting their associate's degree, the first year was free living in our household. The second year, we charged very marginal rent, $250 a month. That was everything, food and utilities, all of it, right? Very, very reasonable. Why did we charge them that? And a lot of people can say, like, what? You did what? It was about them understanding money and understanding the real world responsibility of money. We have a responsibility to our children to help them, to help the next generation understand money and set them up for success. Okay. So the $250, was I like, ooh, yeah, I'm making $250 extra. No, it was about me, and it gave me opportunity to take them on cooler trips and things like this, right? So we could really utilize it in that way to set aside a little bit of a fund to help them when they do want to buy their first house. So I can help with that. Like, there are some other aspects there and why we chose to go down that path. But the truth is that I believe firmly we are not raising children. We are raising adults. We want them to step into their own. We want them to step into alignment. And that is going to start with us helping set them up for this success. And so I can't stress this enough. As parents, we really need to be in tune with what's going on with our kiddos, as well as helping them figure out the debt situation, as well as understanding that it is not our responsibility to take on all of that debt.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
Before I end this podcast, I'm going to tell you one story that sticks with me and I want people to understand. First of all, I need you to hear this. If you're a parent and you're listening to this, there is zero shame in you not paying for your kids' college. I know society has put a lot of pressure on you that it is a rite of passage and that it is a requirement. That is not true. When your child is 18 years old, you technically do not have any financial responsibility for them any longer. However, do I feel as a parent, because I love my kids, that that is the way it should be? Absolutely not. I do feel like we should try to help our kiddos in every way we can. We want them to succeed, but we need to be smart about it and not at the risk of our own financial future, right? So we need to be very smart about how we choose to maneuver and handle this, right? And so I say all that to say, when we went, and I'll leave the university nameless on this, but when we went up for my youngest orientation to the four-year institution she chose, the four-year university, they had all of the parents and family members sitting in this big auditorium, and they were talking about how university was a family experience and how everyone in the family needed to contribute. And first of all, this conversation kind of pissed me off because I was like, no. There is literally nothing in any like societal anything, nothing that tells me I have to continue to pay anything for my child. Yes, I want my child to succeed. Yes, I want to help them. But you trying to guilt me and shame me into giving money is absolutely and utterly ridiculous. But okay. So fast forward, and they also tell us how great the university is and how this university has going to have each individual new incoming student meet with the money coach. Okay, that's what they call them. And the money coach is going to help them understand what their options for loans are and supposedly the repercussions. Well, my husband and I work in the financial space and have for a very, very long time. And so I raise my hand and I ask if we can be, you know, fly on the wall or sitting in this meeting with the money coach for, you know, the conversation. And we are inherently told no, that they're adults and it's their decisions and we're not to be a part of that conversation. And I sat back for a second and I was like, wait a minute. help me understand this. So you literally just said like 20 minutes ago that it's the family's responsibility, that everyone in the family, that university college is a family experience, and everybody needs to donate what they can so that this child can have this experience. But then you also told me in like 20 minutes later in the same breath that I'm not allowed to be part of the conversation when it comes to what the money looks like, how much it's going to cost, where their money is going to go, how it's going to look, or any of this. So which is it? I get to be involved and I get to donate my money and provide them some financial support, or I don't, and they are making all the decisions, so I don't need to be a part of that conversation. Like, that to me was so counterproductive, but it's a perfect representation of how a lot of universities feel. They want the parents to just sign the check and don't worry about the rest or whatever, right? And I said that was going to be a last story, but it's not. I'm going to tell you one more story. And so when one of my girls graduated, and again, I'm not going to name which one because we're not throwing universities under the bus here. Okay. So we go out to the graduation and they had two different people speak at this particular graduation. And the first person who spoke started her speech like this. She said, in 1991, I went to college and I got kicked out. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, is this supposed to be an inspirational speech? Like, you got kicked out of college? Okay. And then she proceeds to tell us about how she got four different associate's degrees and then finally went back and got her master's degree. And if you can kind of do a little bit of math in your head, if she was 18 in 1991, right, then she's in her early to mid-20s, likely. And so, you know, yes, absolutely. You can go back to school whenever, right? Like, I got my law degree when I was 30. Like, that's when I graduated. I was 30, right? And so, and when I went to night law school, there was plenty of other attendees that were even retirement age, like 60 years old, right? Getting their law degree or whatever. If you have a plan and a purpose for all that, that's amazing. And that's great. However, the answer shouldn't be that we don't have any plan and we're just flitting through life and we're just trying to like figure it out. And yes, like we're not going to have a perfectly hemmed up plan. I mean, y'all, I changed majors three different times. I was mechanical engineering, and then I was business accounting, and then I was English creative writing. Okay. So I'm not saying that everything goes according to plan, but what I am saying is we shouldn't just be like partying. And so then we get kicked out of school and then, oh, we got this associate's degree over here because we didn't really have a clue what we were doing. And then we went and got another one because we weren't really sure. And then we did another one. Like, wait, what? Again, nothing wrong with that if that's your path, but let's try to minimize it because again, it's potentially going to affect your financial situation. Then the second speech that they gave to me was also a little bit telling and a little bit concerning, in my opinion. So here's the president of the student body, and they go up to start speaking, and they talk about the fact that they don't have a job and they need a job, and they literally ask for a job like four or five times in the speech. And I do have a problem with the fact that universities are sitting there and they are taking all this money from your children and from you, and they're not helping them with the real world task of finding employment. Because let's be real, we are going to university to learn and to enrich our lives, but we're also going because we need a job at the end of the day. We need to be able to do something. And so I'm just going to simply state that when it comes to these things, when it comes to you laying it out and thinking about student loans and thinking about money and thinking about finances, I'm just letting you know that we need to dig deep. Don't just trust that the school counselor, the university, that everybody in those situations has got your back. You have your back. You have your kids' back, right? You, who is a young adult going out into college, you have the back. You have your back. You're fully capable. You have more resources at your fingertips than you've ever had in your whole entire life. Or you can hire an amazing individual like Mina to help you through that process, right? Whatever that looks like for you. But I'm simply stating, please, please, please go in eyes wide open. Don't put a lifetime of debt on your shoulders that you're never going to be able to overcome, that you're going to feel stressed and just raise your cortisol levels through the roof about for the rest of your life. There are lots of different options. There are lots of alternatives. Just seek them all out. Look through. Don't just trust that what you've been told is the only way to do something is the only way. Because I'm not telling you not to do the debt. If that's what you want to do, if you have a plan and you know that if you take out this amount of debt and this is the plan and I'm going to make this kind of money and I'm going to pay it off in this amount of time, that's amazing. You can spend $1 million in education if you want to. That's great. I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm simply saying that whatever you do, do your life on your terms with your intention, right? Whatever is going to fit and align to you. Because I want you to reach a level of financial mastery that blows your wildest dreams out of the water. And I know you have that capability. And you have that capability of also setting up the next generation for that same level of success. But step one is stepping into it. So there's my soapbox on student loans. I just wanted to make sure I made the episode because a lot of that has been flitting around. And I actually have a brand new resource to help you navigate this. So if you're like, man, I don't even freaking know where to start. Like, how do I have these conversations? How do I even look at that for myself? Like, don't worry. In the show notes, we're going to include the link to the free resource. And you can absolutely, it's going to help you start leveling up to have some of these conversations to think about some of this. Because the truth is, we all want the same thing. We want to succeed financially and we want our kids to succeed financially. That is our heart. And in order to do that, we need to be having some of these conversations, but some of us just don't know how. And that's okay. I'm here to be a guide and to provide you some of those resources and then let you take the reins because you're powerful enough to do it. So hopefully this episode was helpful. You can definitely see that I'm very passionate about it. It's 100% my soapbox. And hopefully we're going to see you again next week on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.